taking a survey. Let's start this morning by taking a survey. Raise your hand out there if you grow plants or flowers or vegetables. Maybe you have a garden. If you know anything about that, maybe you're raised on a farm. Got a few. There we go. Oh, there's plenty of us. That's great. Well, that's really not me at all. I know nothing about any of that. And for some people, it's a hobby. For others, it's a way of life. I got to meet some people this summer for whom it was a way of life. I went out and I did pulpit supply at different churches, a lot of them in rural areas out in the country. And we'd be, I'd speak, and then afterwards we'd be talking, and people would talk to me about the church and talk to me about what the church is like. And at some point, every Sunday, all of the conversations started to be about growing crops. And people would talk about how the freeze of 84 killed the pea crop. And they'd talk about the drought of 88. And they'd talk about the great harvest of 94. And I realized I knew nothing about anything that they were saying. And I realized if I was going to connect with these people, I'd have to learn a whole new thing, a whole new way of life. For some people, it's growing things as a hobby. For others, it's a way of life. And for you who raise your hands, you can connect with God in a way that I struggle to because I know nothing about that. But God is a farmer. God is trying to grow His Word in our hearts. And is God's Word growing in your heart? As time goes by, are you more and more capable of loving the Lord with all of your heart? Are you more able to see and appreciate the beauty and the truth and the goodness and the wisdom and the peace and the joy of Jesus Christ? God is trying to grow His Word in our hearts. And how we grow determines what we're capable of. When I was in middle school, I played basketball, and I loved playing basketball. But as years went by, everybody else kept growing and growing. And I didn't grow. And I realized I wasn't capable of playing this game because I wasn't growing. And we like to think that we're capable of loving God with all of our hearts. And that's what we want to be capable of. But is our spiritual growth allowing that? Are we growing spiritually to love God more every day? Or has our spiritual growth stopped? And this morning we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 8, if you'd like to open up your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 8. We're going to ask ourselves if we are still growing spiritually. And spiritual growth is a condition of our hearts. And so we need to look at our hearts and see what condition our hearts are in to see if God's Word is growing. I spent a summer doing ecological research. And I worked outside and I worked for the U of M, and it was a really great summer. And we studied farmers' fields and how they transition from being a farmer's field that's, regulated, put with nutrients, put in the soil and things. And we'd study how that farmer's field would go back to its wild state after it had finished being farmed on. And we would use these instruments that are called soil cores. And we'd take this instrument and we'd push it deep into the ground, like that guy is on that picture right there. And these things go really deep into the ground. And then we'd pull them back up, and we'd pull them back up, the ends would be filled with soil. And we could look at these soil cores, these instruments, and we could analyze the soil and take a soil sample. And we could figure out why the plants were growing or why the certain plants were growing. And we could also figure out by looking at what was in the soil why things weren't growing. And if we were to take a soil core of our hearts, if we were going to take a sample of the soil in our souls, what would we find? Would we find that God's Word is growing deep? Or do we find that there is darkness in our dirt? Would we find that our hearts are allowing God's Word to grow? And are we growing spiritually to love God more and more every day? We're going to read from Luke chapter 8. If you'd like to turn with me there, we'll start in verse 4. Verse 4 says, "When a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, 'A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path, and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and it grew up. It withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded a hundredfold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when the disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they may not see. But for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." And now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. And so we see in verse 4, a great crowd comes out to see Jesus. People from town after town. We've been seeing Luke why they're coming out. We've seen Jesus healing all sorts of people, showing his power over illness and sickness. And a few weeks ago, we saw how Jesus brought a guy back from the dead. And so word about Jesus is spreading. And people are hearing about these amazing miracles that God is doing. And they're coming out from town after town, a great crowd. They're coming out to hear what Jesus has to say. And what Jesus tells this great crowd is he speaks in a parable. And he tells them a story. And a parable is a story which illustrates the truth of reality. Parables are made-up stories which illustrate a truth about reality. And here Jesus tells them a story about the condition of our hearts before God. This is what he tells this great crowd that comes out to listen. And when the disciples ask, "What does this story mean?" Jesus starts here. He says, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God." And so Jesus makes it clear. He says that God's word is being sown in the hearts of people on earth. We can know God's word. And how many people today will tell you the otherwise? They'll say, "We can't know God. We can't hear his word in that way. He's distant. We can't know what God would say." And Jesus says the exact opposite. Jesus makes it clear that God's word is being sown in our hearts. And the people who tell us that his word is not available, that we can't know it, are simply not allowing it to grow in their hearts. Because God's word is being sown. And the issue is not whether or not we can know God's word. It's whether our hearts are allowing that to grow. At the heart of the issue, it's an issue of the heart. What condition are our hearts are in? If we took a sample of the soil of our souls, what would we find? Would we find that God's word is growing deep, the word that's being sown among his people on earth? Or would we find that there is darkness in our dirt, keeping us from spiritual growth? And so, if God's word is being sown in the hearts of people, why would anyone's heart, why would that resist God's word growing? In verse 10, Jesus says to his disciples, when they ask him about the meaning of the parable, he says, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." And so Jesus tells stories, he communicates in parables for two reasons. The first is to communicate with those who want to listen, to communicate with his disciples. To his disciples, Jesus' words lead to salvation. And they're the word of God. But Jesus communicates in parables because he's not going to force anyone to follow him. We've been talking about how Jesus has come to earth to defeat the darkness, not through force, but by serving and sacrificing for us, to change our hearts. And Jesus isn't going to focus or force anyone to listen to and follow him. He gives us a choice. So that if we don't want to know, if we don't want to listen, we don't have to. It's up to us. He lets the responsibility fall on our shoulders. And he speaks on parables so that if we want to, we can think about it and we can easily understand. But if we don't want to listen, we may see and not see, hear and not understand. Jesus gives us that option to ignore his word because he's not here to force us. He's here to change our hearts. So Jesus speaks in parables. And we can ignore God's word. We cannot think about it. God's word is precious. I went to a dinner last night from the Gideon people. Do you know who they are? They put the Bibles in the hotel rooms. And there was a guy there who had to be 170. Just an ancient man who loved God and loved his word. And this guy goes out with his little Gideon Bibles. And they're about that big. And he hands them out to people on the University of Minnesota campus. And people laugh at him, and he's had people burn him in front of him, burn little Bibles in front of him. But this guy knows that God's word is precious. In many countries, you can't own a Bible. So why would we want to ignore God's word? We see at the end of this parable, in verse 7, it says, verse 8, it says, some fell onto good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And that's the seed is God's word. And God's word produces a great harvest. And why would we want to ignore a harvest like that? 100-fold, I had to ask some of my farmer friends and some of my pastor friends what the average yield was in a harvest at that time. They said it was 10-fold. And so this 100-fold is 10 times the normal harvest. And why would we want to ignore a harvest like that? We can ignore God's word, but let's listen to Jesus. He says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And I went to GreekBible.com. I clicked on that word that means hear in Greek, and I found out what tense it's in. It's in the present tense. That means it's for us right now. Here right now. We can hear at this moment, in the present. We can hear God's word. It's being sown in the hearts of his people on earth. And let's listen. Let's ask ourselves, what is the condition of our hearts before God? Is God's word growing deep? Or is there something that's stopping us? Is there darkness in our dirt? And let's ask ourselves, if we're like the first type of soil. Let's go back to verse 5 at the beginning of this parable. Jesus says, a sower went out to sow a seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path, was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And the disciples say, what does this mean? And Jesus says in verse 12, he says, the ones along the path are those who have heard, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And so Jesus compares the work of the devil to people who are trampling God's word. People walk by in the path and trample that seed, and then the birds of the air come. And they take that seed away. And Jesus compares that to the work of the devil. And we like to think that the darkness isn't real. We like to think that the devil isn't real. And that there's no power of evil. That we don't have to fear that. But Jesus compares us to the work of the devil. And have you ever seen the word of God start to take hold in your heart? And you start to believe and have faith and to trust in Jesus. And to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit and the peace of God, only to have someone trample on that word and stomp on it and say how foolish that is, or mock you. Say how foolish it is to believe in God. Where is your God? When we feel that darkness, and the darkness has a pull on our hearts, when we feel that pull, we can let go of God's word, let it slip through our hands, out of our hearts, and be taken by the devil. And that's the work of the devil, Jesus says, so that we may not believe and be saved. And we like to think that the darkness isn't powerful, but it is. And we like to think that the devil isn't real, but he is. And he's powerful, and that pull is powerful. And that's why we need Jesus, because we've been reading about how Jesus is more powerful than that force of evil. Jesus is more powerful than the darkness. And the effects of the darkness are many in the world. And one of the worst effects of the darkness is that people don't respond to God's word. There's a failure to respond to God's word, and there's a failure to receive that salvation that God offers us through Jesus. So we need to ask ourselves today, is that type of soil like us? Has God's word started to take hold in our heart? Have we heard it only to have it stomped on by the many voices in our world that are trying to keep us from believing and being saved? When the devil comes, do we hold on to God's word? Or have we let it be trampled and stolen? And as was mentioned in the announcements, we have the sermon notes with us. If you'd like to open those sermon notes and fill out that sentence, let's just take a moment. Let's just stop and reflect. Have there been times where we've heard God's word only to have it be trampled and stolen? Just take a moment and reflect on that. Thank you. If there have been times where we've heard God's word and had it be trampled and stolen, there's good news for us today, because Jesus is more powerful than the powers of darkness, as I've been reading it. Jesus can give us the strength and the faith for that word to take hold and for us to resist the devil. In Revelation 3:20 says that Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And anyone who hears his voice, it says, and opens that door, Jesus will come into him. And 1 John 4:4 says that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And so we can overcome. And that he who is in us is Jesus, and the one that is in the world is the devil. And Jesus is more powerful. And so if Jesus is in our hearts, he can give us that strength to overcome and resist the devil. And when God's word takes hold in our hearts, we can hold on to it when people stomp on it. And when the devil comes, we can hold on to that word, and it can grow deep in our hearts. That can be us today. We can hear the word of God and believe and be saved. And if that's been you today, as we're praying during the service, as we're praying, you can just pray that God will open your heart today. We believe that the God of all creation, the God who created heaven and earth, is with us today. He's present in this room as we worship him today. We can open up our hearts, and he can give us that sort of strength today. Let's ask ourselves if we're like the second type of soil. In verse 6, it said, some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And so the disciples say, Jesus, what does that mean? What truth is that illustrating about reality? And Jesus says in verse 13, he explains it. He says, the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing, they fall away. And so here we have people they've started the Christian life. They've heard the word of God. It's began to grow in their hearts. They've begun to walk with Christ and follow him and believe. But then, at some point, they encounter a time of testing, and they quickly fall away. They give up their beliefs. And the problem is not that they haven't heard the word of God. And the problem is not that they've come in contact with tough situations in times of testing. But the problem is that their hearts are hard towards God. And so his roots have only grown so deep. And when times of testing come, they fall away. And we need to expect times of testing and difficult times. The problem is not that we run into those. We've been talking about how even the faithful, even those who follow God, will expect to encounter some of the effects of the darkness, of illness and sickness, of suffering and pain and death. Even those who follow God will experience some of that for sure. And that's not the problem. The problem is when our hearts are hard towards God and his roots have only grown so deep. And when those times of testing come, we fall away. When life is hard, we're going to encounter those times of testing. And what will they reveal about our hearts? Are our hearts hard towards God? Did we let his word grow deep? Or did it only remain shallow? There's a few different ways that our hearts can become hardened towards our God who loves us. One of those is through sin that's done to us by others. Other people choose to hurt us and rebel against God. And we take that pain and we blame it on God. We say, God, why did you let this happen to me? Instead of placing that blame where it belongs, placing that blame on the darkness, placing that blame on others who have chosen to follow the darkness and hurt ourselves and rebel, we blame God for that. And it hardens our hearts. It hardens our hearts towards God and his word. Are we blaming other people's sin on God? And is that causing our hearts to be hard? And another way that our hearts become hard towards God is a sin that we choose because we're not perfect. And sometimes we choose the darkness, and we choose that over God. And that brings pain in our lives. We hurt others, and our relationships are damaged. We hurt ourselves, and we damage our own hearts. we rebel against God. And we experience the consequences of that, of broken relationships, of physical and emotional pain that we've brought on from our choices of following the darkness over God. And are we blaming our sin on God? And are we hardening our hearts because we're blaming our sin on God? And our hearts can become hard to God and His Word, and His roots can stop growing deep. And when God's words don't grow deep in our lives, we become shallow. Our faith becomes shallow. We become shallow people with shallow lives and shallow relationships. And is that us today? Are our hearts hardened towards God? When we're shallow and we experience times of testing, we fall away. When we have a time of testing with a family member, we fall away and break that relationship and go on to a new one. When we have a time of testing with a friend, we experience broken relationships and fall away, and we go on to new friends. And we leave behind us a trail of broken relationships with family and friends and employers and churches. And is that us? Has God's word grown deep? Are we deep people? When times of testing come, we've got deep roots. Let's ask ourselves if we're like that second type of soil today. Let's just take a moment. Let's fill that out in the sermon notes. Let's just invite God into His heart, into our hearts, and ask Him to reveal that to us today. Does God's word go deep? Or do we quickly fall away during times of testing? If that's us today, if our hearts have been hardened towards God, there's good news for us today as well. And I think one of the coolest things about this parable that I found out is that, and I don't know anything about growing, so maybe this is normal, but the seed preceded the plowing of the field. And so the person would go through the field and throw the seed, and then afterwards the plow would come and would plow up that hard ground. And the ground would become soft to the seed, and the roots could grow deep. And so if that's up to us today, if we have had a hard heart towards God, there's still time for our hearts to become softened, for God's word that we've previously heard, that's previously been sown, to still grow deep. There's time for God to plow up our hearts. And just this last couple months, we've been talking about reading through Luke. We've been reading God's word, talking about how Jesus is God, come to save us. How He's powerful, how we can put our faith in Him because He's powerful over all of the effects of the darkness. He's incorruptible, and He's come to save us. We've talked about how we need to break our alliance with the darkness and put an alliance on our faith in Jesus Christ. And we've heard God's word. And how has it been finding our hearts as it hit? Has it been finding a hard heart? Well, there's still time for that seed to be plowed and for that root to grow deep. And I totally experienced this. When I was 20, when I was about 10 years ago, when I was in college. See, I grew up in church, and I heard God's word all the time through sermons. I even read the Bible. And yet the word of God did not grow deep in my heart. My heart was hard towards God. But when I was 20, I had this amazing experience, and God gave me a new heart, and He replaced my heart of stone with a heart of flesh. And at that time, I had all of the seed that had been planted on my heart. And when God gave me that new heart, God's word began to grow deep. I was so thankful for all that word that I had heard. And that can be us today. In Ezekiel 36:26, the Lord says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And if God's word has been hitting a hard heart, we can still plow the field of our heart. God can still change our hearts today through His power. And that word which we've heard which we've been talking about over this last month, there's still plenty of time for that word to grow deep. There's still time for us to believe and be saved. As we're praying, reflecting today, that too can be us. We can be given a new heart and a heart of flesh. Let's ask ourselves if we're like that third soil. In verse 7 it says, some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And the disciples say, what does that mean, Jesus? And Jesus says, in verse 14 he says, and as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. And here are people who have heard God's word, and you can't tell, because they care more about these other things. They live for these other things. And you can't tell that they've heard God's word. I just read the book Christian Atheist, and it's for free out there on the table in the out in the entryway. It's called The Christian Atheist, and the guy talks about how he lived his life as a Christian atheist, how he believed in God, how God's word had hit his heart, but he acted like God did not exist. If you looked at him, you wouldn't be able to tell, because he lived for the cares and riches and pleasures of this world. And if you're interested in that book, feel free to grab one on the way out. And that's what has happened in this case. There are other things growing in this person's heart, and you can't tell that the word of God is there. And we have to ask ourselves, are there other things growing in our heart? Thorns that are choking out God's word. Do we need to do some serious weeding today in our hearts? Maybe we care more about what other people think than about God's word. We're afraid to let people know that God's word is growing in our hearts because we're afraid what our friends will say or how our family will react. Maybe our family members don't go to church. Maybe we weren't raised in church. Or maybe at work there's no one there who believes. We're afraid of that and our care of our reputation, what people will think, is choking out God's word in our hearts. It's a thorn that's keeping us from going spiritually deep. Or maybe we care more about riches and money. Maybe we love money more than Jesus. It's keeping us from following God and doing what we know to be right. It's keeping us from acting the way we know we should act because we're living for money. Maybe that's a thorn that's choking out God's word. Or maybe it's our love of pleasure. We want things to be easy. We want instant gratification. But this Christian thing sounds hard, and we'll follow God as long as it means that we can still do absolutely everything else that we really want to do. Maybe we love that more. And it's a pleasure of this world that are choking out God's word from our hearts. And when people look at our lives, would they think that we're atheists? Would they think that we're agnostic? Because they can't tell that God's word has hit our hearts, because these cares are choking it out. Do I live for the cares and riches and pleasures of this world? Are these thorns choking God's word in my life? Let's just take a minute and invite the Holy Spirit into our heart and reflect on that question. Just as I was sitting there reflecting, I just realized it really became clear. I hadn't even thought about this. I prepared a whole message and hadn't even thought about it. My heart has totally experienced all three of these experiences. I've certainly experienced all three. My heart has gone through all three of these types of soil. And if this is us today, there's good news for us as well. I think it's 1 John 2:17 says that the desires of this world are passing away. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. This world is temporary, and these cares, these riches, and these pleasures are passing, but God's will last forever. God is so much more precious, so much more valuable than the things of this world. Matthew 13:44 says that the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field. This guy finds it, and he covers it up, and he quicks and runs and with joy sells all that he has to buy this field because of how precious this thing that's hidden in it is. And that's Jesus. That's faith in Jesus Christ. That's how important and precious and valuable that is. And our hearts can be open to that today. God can open the eyes of our heart today to that kind of faith. And we can start to love God more. And when that's revealed to us, we'll quickly and easily cast away those thorns, which don't lead to life, but they just lead to emptiness. And it's God's word growing deep, which brings life into our hearts. And so if that's us today, there's hope for us as well. That can be us. We can hear God's word. We can cast those thorns aside. God's word can grow deep. Let's take a look at this last kind of soil. Let's ask ourselves what it's like. In verse 8, it says, some fell onto good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. There's a great harvest. The disciples ask Jesus, what does this mean? And he says in verse 15, he says, as for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. And so many of us, we hold on to God's word for a short time and don't give it the time to grow. But Jesus says it's like a plant. It's like roots that grow deep in time. And up from that comes fruit, and it requires patience. And our heart can be like that as well. Our heart can be good soil, where we hold fast to the word of God in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. As someone who believes in Christ, as someone who's experienced emptiness and disappointment and despair at the just living a life for the cares of this world, there's nothing more exciting to me. There's nothing more beautiful, more glorious than when someone comes to me and I can look in their eyes. And I can see the passion and the life in their hearts. As they tell me a story about how God's word has grown deep in their lives. About how they had no joy. They had no peace. And now they do. Because of Jesus Christ. There's nothing more exciting. There's nothing more valuable. There's nothing more important. There's nothing more life-giving. There's no greater peace than when God's word grows deep in our hearts. And that can be us today. Our hearts can be good soil that hears the word of God. And the word of God can grow deep in our hearts with deep roots. We can hold fast with an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. If God has been doing something in your heart, don't forget about that. Don't let it go. Don't give up on it. Hold fast to that with a good and honest heart and let that bear fruit with patience. And that can be us. Let's bow our heads and take a moment and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity just to worship freely and to hear God's word and to read our Bibles, which you've provided for us. We thank you for their guidance, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the guidance of your words, God, in our lives. I thank you so much for the joy and the peace that comes with following Jesus. And God, there's darkness in this world and there's a great pull on the darkness. And God, we can give up your word, but Lord, I pray that you give us strength to hold that fast, so that we might believe and be saved. And God, it's easy to harden our hearts towards you when people sin against us or when we make choices which hurt our relationships or hurt ourselves. God, I pray that you'd give us a soft heart so that your roots can grow deep. And Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that we would have our eyes open to the immense value of faith in Jesus Christ. And I pray that our hearts would hold on to that value and cast those thorns aside so your word can grow deep in our hearts. God, I pray we'd be good soil. And that we could see the change that faith has. See the truth that Jesus can change our lives. God, I pray that we would bear fruit with patience. Lord, give us the patience and the strength to hold on to your word. We just thank you and we celebrate. It's a great opportunity, Lord. A great day that you've given us so that we can hear your word and worship you. And Lord, we thank you for the gifts that we are about to receive. We pray all of this in your name. Amen. At this time, we're going to take up our offering. If the ushers could come forward. If you have filled out your connection card, you can place those in the basket. Otherwise, you can always take a little bit more time and hand them to me after the service or an usher. And if you're new here, feel free to let that basket pass. You don't have to give our regular members and attenders or the ones who provide for this ministry. And if you're new here, I'd love to come and meet you. Please come up after the service and introduce yourself.